Our scripture lesson comes from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all the work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work creating that he had done.
You may be seated. May God add his blessing to the fine reading of the Holy Book tonight. I think that no series in the book of Genesis, even a survey-type series like the one we're engaged in, could ever be totally complete without at least one sermon on the concept and the truth and the doctrine of the seventh day of the creation week. And that's where we find ourselves at the beginning of chapter 2 here in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Before going to it, as always, let's approach the throne again in prayer and seek God's face. Father, it is good for us to do exactly that, to seek your face, preaching serious business, be it in the morning or the evening of the Lord's Day. And we are recognizing the need to persevere, to keep our energy strong, our attentiveness. And we pray that you would allow us to finish this day well, right through the benediction here, that it might be to your honor and glory as it's reflection of these words that speak of that first Sabbath day so long ago that you celebrated. And we give you the praise now and the thanks for this blessed, privileged situation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant to us the wisdom to live it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. People tend to think of our Puritan or Presbyterian heritage as austere, Spartan, plain, and unadorned. And there's some truth to that. Look around you. How many statues do you see? How many icons? How many pictures? How many candles? Except on Christmas Eve, of course. As a faith, we are thought to lack pizzazz, fun, relaxation, or celebration. But in actual fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Indeed, our faith structure includes more holidays in it than any of the most godless and reprobate schemes or religious systems that you can imagine. If you do the math, you will discover that we have at least 52 holidays every year. In fact, in the year 2006, we had 53 holy days. In fact, if you notice this last February, which usually only has 28 days in it, which had 29, we had 5 holy days, holidays, in the month of February 2007. One every week. The Lord's Day, which is now the Christian Sabbath day, which we rightly celebrate on Sunday. The Sabbath was moved by Almighty God from the seventh day to the new first day because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant church now worshiping him not on the seventh day anymore. So none of this nonsense about seventh day modernism, but on the first day, the day of the resurrection. And I will say it is still as important and mandatory and celebratory today as it ever was in the Old Covenant. It will be our goal this evening to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy because of our love for Christ. Let's look at these three verses from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. If you wish to use the outline, it's available for you. God's Holy Day is the title of the sermon. First, let us consider why divine holidays are necessary. And this is an important point. What need is there for holy days or holidays, if you will? Why divine holidays are necessary? First, because the saints must worship. The main reason for God's special days is so that there will be a perpetual, consistent pattern for the people of God to follow on which day they gather to worship him corporately. We are creatures of habit. Years ago, some atheistic French decided to change the week So I think like 9 or 10 days, good longer work week or something. It didn't work. They had to go back to God's pattern. Boo-hoo. Well, the fact is that you and I need God's pattern. Someone might be saying, aren't we to worship God every day of our lives? This is sort of the evangelical answer to those rascally Puritans that insist on the holy days. Well, the answer to this question is, of course, yes. But please listen to me. This is where the biblical doctrine of worship, which is almost completely misunderstood and wholly forgotten in our own day, must be applied. The Bible's teaching on worship is that there are two basic main dimensions to worship. One is the corporate worship of the saints, the Lord's people, on the Lord's Day, the Sunday Resurrection Day, as His church. You can reference many places in the Bible. I'll use Acts verse 7 of chapter 20, Acts 20 verse 7. And the second dimension is a week-long life of grace and walking in the Spirit in obedience to God. You may reference Romans 12:1 and following. But here's the key. Please observe that the second dimension of worship, which most people want to hold to, oh, I worship anytime, da-da-da, which is often an excuse for taking a stroll through the woods on Sunday or going golfing or, you know, to the mall or whatever and pretending that this is, you know, worshiping God. The second dimension of worship, which is worshiping God all the time, is impossible. Did you hear that? It is impossible without the first dimension, which is Sabbath church worship on the Lord's Day. A radical statement, but you may take it to the bank. Because, and here's the reason, we cannot obey God in the small or weekly six-day things if we do not obey Him in the big regulated things. And this has so many applications, why we need to be members of local churches under discipline, having elders, etc., etc. It's so basic, but it's life transforming. Many of you in this room have had your very spiritual lives brought to fruition and to joy understanding these things. It is because we have worshiped God corporately as the church on Sunday that we have the power to live for Him throughout the week. I'll tell you, this may sound ridiculous, but don't even try to do evangelism if you don't keep the Lord's Day holy. Why divine holidays are necessary? Because the saints must worship and because the saints must rest. Now, this reason is a little bit more related to the creation ordinance itself, which we just saw in chapter 1 of Genesis. God created man to work for 6 days and to rest for one. Did you know that? Incidentally, if you know your Bibles well at all, and I know you do, and you read them, you notice God has such an emphasis on rest. Rest, 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 rest. Well, there's reason for that. You might be saying, wow, that's weird, because aren't people basically lazy? Well, yes, but no. They want to do and be active in what they want to do and be active in. But there is a time for rest. Mankind, of course, has managed to botch up this very gracious arrangement by God. Work 6 days, rest one, very royally. Some people don't work 6 days, and some don't rest at 1 day. What is the result of that? Happiness? Fulfillment? Contentment? No. Nervousness? Disaster? Disappointment? Lack of purpose? Lack of fulfillment? Lack of direction? Lack of an aim, a goal, anything to live for? And an early death. God commands His people to rest very often. See, Exodus 35:2 is one of scores of examples. And this rest idea rules out the doing of business on the Lord's Day. And I'll just reference for you Nehemiah 13, 15 through 18. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but you know what? Take it to your world. Bring the gospel, the Lord Jesus, entailing with it all these blessed benefits of life in covenant with Him. My mother used to speak, and still does occasionally, of her Presbyterian uncle, who I hope to see in heaven, and he was a carpenter. And he would say, there's no sense in driving a nail on Sunday, you only have to pull it out again on Monday, or you'll put the ladder through a window or something. Why divine holidays are necessary. Now, next, let's get a feel for the nature of the Lord's Day from verses 1 through 3 of Genesis chapter 2. There are three verses here and three principles that apply for all time and which have reference both to God and man. The nature of the Lord's Day, verse 1, it is the day of satisfied reflection. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. God, as it were, finishes the work of creation, which we read about in chapter 1. And if I may use this language, he reclines back on his heavenly throne. He says, wow, that is a marvelous sight. And remember, at this point here, it was even before the fall. The Lord's Day is to be the day in the week when you, the people of God, if you are a faithful churchman, may recline back and say, wow, what wonders God has wrought in my soul, in my church, in my family, in my marriage, in my world this past week. Someone has rightly said that the non-contemplated life is not worth living. And that person is right. A life that never stops one day of the week, and incidentally, politically incorrect statement of the night, God didn't change the Sabbath to Wednesday night, where we're going to all of a sudden get serious about the Word of God or worship or anything like that. It's not just any day. He didn't change it. The life that never stops to think, to reflect, to give praise and thanks to God is not worth living. You see, dears, this is not so complicated, but it is tremendously profound and life-transforming. When you come to church on Sunday, guess what? You come here with all kinds of baggage. You've collected all kinds of diseases and infections and extra burdens. You come to church and you have sins you want to confess. You have grace you want to receive. You have friends you want to minister to or to have minister to you. And you have lives that you want to touch and be affected by. All this is good. And all of it is a part of learning how to remember or sanctify the Lord's Day. So God, He takes a break. If I can speak colloquially, He worked hard there for 6 days. And now, work hard for 6 days and then rest on the Sabbath day. It is the day of satisfied reflection. Verse 2, it is the day of gospel renewal. And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done. Why are God's people to rest in imitation of the Creator? Incidentally, if the Creator needed to rest, and you understand this is somewhat anthropomorphic language, we need to rest. He rested. We need to rest to be refreshed and renewed. Have you ever noticed how haggard you can look? Not you, but it happened to me on numerous occasions. After you've taken yourself to the limit of your endurance. I remember in seminary days, honestly, it was absolutely stunning, frightening. Go to school, da-da-da, work come home, get a little sleep, look in the mirror, and ooh, that's a bad, bad scene. And maybe you've been there. But your youth somehow and somewhat reappears, sort of get re-resurrected after a very good sleep or rest. Incidentally, I'm a huge advocate of the Sunday afternoon nap. Gospel renewal happens in church. See, gospel renewal happens and starts in church, radical statement. As the gospel is preached to you, as you sing of it, pray about it, see it in the sacraments, the gospel renewal also takes the following forms too, in light of verse 2, resting. You're reminded every Sunday, if you are a faithful Christian, or at least a well-informed one, every Sunday in particular, you are reminded that you are to rest from that evil, pernicious, fleshly bane of our existence called self-righteousness, or works righteousness, or law righteousness. In this regard, we take our salvation in Christ's righteousness and grace, and we're reminded of that, Lord's Day, Lord's Day. I reference Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We're reminded every Sunday that we are to rest from, or refrain from, or repent of all of our sins by the grace of God. Hebrews 4, 1 and following. Good preaching expunges sin. And we are reminded as well of our eternal rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, begun here in life in church on the Lord's Day and perfected in the resurrection of the body, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7. Now, all of you and I know people who think they can get ahead or get an edge on others by not resting, kind of a spiritual steroid, you know, illegal activity, but with the idea that by doing it, you will get some kind of a leg up on someone. Now, for a short time, let's say a guy wants to open a store and he insists on keeping it open on Sunday. For a while, it may appear that he's getting ahead of the Joneses, but ultimately, it will come crashing down and burn. And without redemption and repentance, it leads to perdition. A lot at stake. The nature of the Lord's Day, a day of satisfied reflection, a day of gospel renewal. Verse 3, it is the day of the church's resurrection. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Do you realize that the church cannot exist without the Lord's Day? Let me say that again. The church cannot exist without the Lord's Day, which means there is no body of Christ, tangible, visible, physical, and evident, without the Lord's Day. It's that important. Sunday, or the Lord's Day, is so intrinsic to who and what you are and I am that to conceive of church without the day is analogous to thinking of a body without a soul. Now, this is one of the reasons that Redeemer is so weird. You know, we emphasize church on Sunday, and I'm looking at some of you and I'm saying, praise God for these people. I learned from some of you. You all were ahead of me. And by the way, let's be gracious with people. This takes a while. This isn't something that just comes to people. Americans don't like this idea of rest. And no human fallen being does. But the point is this, that we're weird because during the week we think, hey, we're not going to put a conscience burden on anybody through the week to do anything, unless it's to appear before a court of the church or to do something in terms of repentance that applies to a particular day or something like that. We're not going to put a burden of conscience, but we will put a burden of conscience because we live under grace and not under law. Did you get that? On those who join themselves here under our vows and confession of the Word of God and our particular confessions, that they must, if at all possible, barring sickness, hospitalization, or some extraordinary situation, worship God in church on Sunday. That, my dears, is weird in today's world. It didn't used to be weird. I mean, it wasn't that many years ago that that was actually understood by lots of people. Today, very few people comprehend this. And you and I know that to be the case. Think about it this way. The Lord Jesus Christ worshipped on the old Sabbath, Luke 4:16. Incidentally, did you see that text that Elder John read from Luke 6:1 through 11? Sabbath, Sabbath, Sabbath. Have you ever noticed in the Gospels how often the Gospel writers point out what Jesus did on the Sabbath day? He did most of his teaching, most of his preaching, most of his healing, most of his great works on the old Sabbath day. He performed most of his miracles, Luke 3:2. He was raised from the dead on what became the new Sabbath, Luke 24:1-3. And the church gathers to worship and adore him on the new Sabbath, 1 Corinthians 16:2. In a very real sense, the church is resurrected, Lord's Day to Lord's Day, as we're seated in the heavenlies, worshiping him as we are right now, as per Ephesians 1:20. You who are born again ought, every Lord's Day, to have your souls not only rekindled, but grow in grace. Why? Because way back in the first week, which we just read about, after the creation, what did God do? He blessed and sanctified the Sabbath day. And not only has God never removed the Sabbath day commandment, he has augmented it in terms of blessing. He's actually added to it. I mean, this is disgraceful, but you know people that think there are 9 commandments. There used to be 10, but God got rid of one. And you know which one it always is? The 4th commandment. Where are you in this regard, dears? Why divine holidays are necessary? Incidentally, this applies a little beyond the Sabbath day. You need to take vacations. You know, you're very good to your pastor. We're taking a week here next week. That's a good thing. You know what? I'm a better minister to you because you're gracious enough to give us vacations. And Leslie can't be improved upon, but I'm sure that doesn't hurt her either. And so it is an important thing. You need vacation. All right. Now, in further application, let's find out how to remember the Sabbath day. How does one keep this ancient commandment, the 4th of the Decalogue? Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Exodus 28. And incidentally, here's another little freebie of the night. Read the 10 commandments. In Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, and you will find more detail attached to the 4th commandment regarding the Sabbath day than to any other commandment. Adultery, murder, idolatry, none of them. 4th commandment, boom, lots of information. All right, how to remember the Sabbath day. First, be convinced of our beliefs. If you do not believe that God commands you to worship and rest on a particular day of the week, then guess what? You won't do it. Or if you do, you won't do it with all your heart. Why do people wantonly break the Sabbath day? For one of two reasons only. Either ignorance, which is truthfully a major amount of the people that break Sabbath day are doing it just because they're ignorant. They don't even know. They think, well, they signed a paper somewhere, raised a hand, this is fine, they're all right with God, who needs this stuff? Ignorance. They're not well taught. They're taught, but they're badly taught. And this is one of the reasons you, in doing your evangelism, bring these blessed truths with humility, not haughtiness, not arrogance. Recognizing that we all were among the mass of confused, bewildered human beings, not being able to make heads or tails out of life. Ignorance or willful disobedience to the Word of God. What do you believe about the Lord's Day? Is it a day of worship and rest to you, or is it a day for you to just do whatever you want? Be convinced of our beliefs. And incidentally, that blessed document, the Westminster Confession, very strong on the Sabbath day. And then, be determined to obey. 1 John 5:3 is helpful. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. In other words, if we love God, then we ought to be seeking out ways to show Him our love according to His word and not ours. We ought to consider our participation in Sunday's worship of God so habitual and regular and so much a part of our regular warp and woof of life and schedule that the very thought of not doing it doesn't even enter our mind. It's like just falling off a log, as the old expression says. How to remember the Sabbath day? Be convinced of our beliefs. Be determined to obey. Finally, be joyful in our Savior. Sunday worship is not to be seen as a burden. Remember Malachi? Oh, this worship of God. Oh, it's such a burden. Oh, God, why are you asking? And people get tired of the old means of grace. They have to dream up some new entertainment every other week to keep people interested. It is not a burden hearing sermons, taking the Lord's Supper, practicing regulated Sunday worship under the Word of God and the direction of real church eldership is not a burden. It is a joy and a delight. God's requirements are so much easier now than they were under the Old Covenant, when rams, sheep, goats had to be sacrificed and you had to make these trips to Jerusalem. Now, because the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, has been slain, shedding His precious blood for us sinners, the true saints are more than happy to come to the worship of God in His church. And incidentally, it is a lot easier. Really, all we need to bring is our souls and our sins and our honest hearts, renewed by grace, that need and take the gospel as a gift from God and just feast on it, Lord's Day to Lord's Day. How hard is that? On the judgment day, nobody can say, oh God, you put the cookies too far up. He's got them on the low shelf. And they are there for us to enjoy and eat. Offer yourselves living, holy sacrifices acceptable to God, Romans 12:1. But this takes faith. See, a self-righteous person, a self-confident person, you don't need God, you need Christ, you don't need church, all that stuff. But it takes faith in Jesus alone. God's holy day. When Israel failed to let the land get its Sabbaths for many, many years, the Lord provided the rest to the land by sending the people into exile for 70 years. You can read about it in 2 Chronicles 36:21. If we or any professing believer will not take or honor God's rest and worship, then that person will suffer a much worse fate, especially if they understand, if they were here tonight. It all comes down, really, to love, doesn't it? We all do what we want to do, do we not? Every one of you here, you could have been doing something else tonight. You could have found a reason. It all comes down to love. It all comes down to doing what we want to do. Question is, what do we want to do? What is the inclination of our heart? If we love Christ, we will obey Him, even in the simplest and yet most profound matters. If we don't, we won't. Period. That simple. No more excuses. May we as the people of God be found to be faithful to Him, even as it is expressed in our celebration of God's holy day. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for the provision of the Sabbath that never went away. It's so totally built into the creation ordinance itself that even total pagans, totally ignorant people, have to live in accord with it in some form or another, either benefiting even by natural means and common grace or suffering because of the breaking thereof. And here is the covenant church of God. We have a tremendous advantage to see it in its full light, context of the resurrection of Jesus, and the blessed privilege of worship. And we thank You, Lord. We don't pretend to worship You that well, but we do pray that you will accept it, because we don't bring it in and through our own works or our own efforts or our own righteousness, which we don't have. But we bring it as a reflection, a result of the fact that Christ is our righteousness, apprehended by grace alone through faith alone. And we give you thanks for him. We pray in his holy name. Amen.